Welcome to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. We now know that things like access to affordable housing and healthy food, good jobs that provide a livable income, education, safe environments, and other factors make up what we call the social determinants of health, and that they are likely more powerful in promoting health of individuals and communities than healthcare itself. Sir Michael Marmot has been a pioneer in advancing this concept and has created what are called Marmot Places. Now, one nurse who has worked with Marmot is Charlotte McArdle. Charlotte is a global nurse consultant, visiting professor at Ulster University Belfast, vice dean of the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, their faculty of nursing and midwifery, and a former government chief nurse officer in the United Kingdom. And I'm delighted to have Charlotte McArdle on Health Center in the Catskills today to talk with us about Marmot Places. Thanks so much for coming on to Health Cetera from the UK, Charlotte.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So you've worked with Marmot and you know his work well. Give us a bit of an overview about the work of Sir Michael Marmot.
Thanks, Diana. So Sir Michael is a professor of epidemiology and he works primarily from University College London. But he's also director of the university's Institute of Health Equity. And Michael has spent 50 years of his career at least leading research on health inequalities. I think notably he's worked with the World Health Organization and their commission around the social determinants of health. He's been advising governments for many, many years and he's produced a number of reports for various governments. I'm probably going to focus on the work he's done within the United Kingdom with the government there. And they have really helped to shape international health policy. He's developed the social determinants of health framework, which essentially his research for those 50 years has been on establishing the fact that health is shaped by the conditions in which people are born, in which we grow up, we live, we work and we age. And as I said, he's written a number of reports, both in the UK, but also across Europe, the Americas, North Africa and in the Middle East. And I suppose his most notable report in the UK was in 2010 when it became known as the Marmot Review. And at that stage, it set out six key principles. And those principles are still with us today. And indeed, he's added to those. But they are giving every child the best start in life, educating and lifelong learning, how important that is for us. Our ability to have a job, to be in employment, and the conditions in which we work and our contribution to society, as well as our ability to earn an income which is necessary for a healthy life. And indeed, Marmot would say that a minimum income is required for a healthy life. Mm-hmm. And he talks also about health and sustainable environments and communities in which we live and work. So our community connection with those around us is really important. And the last of those six principles is taking a social determinants approach to prevention and a healthy lifestyle. So it's much, much wider than health.
Yes. And they're really important concepts and the evidence is there that supports those principles. So you have done work with Sir Marmot. Tell us about that work.
So I first met Sir Michael around about 2020, before the pandemic. And at that time, 2020 was designated the Year of the Nurse and Midwife. And we were, in celebration of that, we were hosting a conference. I was the Chief Nursing Officer for Northern Ireland at the time. And we had invited Sir Michael to give a keynote address. And he stayed with us for the day. And he was very impressed, I think it's fair to say, with the work that we were doing in Northern Ireland around giving every child the best start in life, investing in early years, in supporting teenage pregnancies with family nurse partnerships. And we were starting to see the outcomes at that stage of things like the family nurse partnership and also breastfeeding rates increasing. And Sir Michael said to me that he was very impressed, and he felt that nursing actually had a very substantial role to play in ensuring that we were managing to make progress on the wider determinants of health, and that he'd written a document for doctors around guidance for health equity. But he had tried hard, I think, for a number of years to get nursing involved in this, and he was struggling. So I said to him, leave that with me and I'll see what I can do. So I intended to work with him locally to develop guidelines for nurses in Northern Ireland. But very quickly, my colleagues in the United Kingdom wanted to join. So the four countries of the United Kingdom became involved. And then when I spoke to colleagues of mine who were working internationally, we decided to make it global. And essentially, we were able to secure funding from the Wish Foundation in Qatar to support us. And actually, our key researcher, Dr. Billy Rose, is from New York.
Yes.
He worked with us, and Sir Michael worked with us, and we developed the guidance for nurses for health equity and tackling the social determinants of health, which we launched in 2021. And since then, Sir Michael has been made an honorary fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, which, as you said in your introduction, I'm the vice dean. And so work has continued with him in that role. And now there is work ongoing with the Irish government around the establishment of a Marmot place or a Marmot city within Ireland, which is really, really exciting.
So, Charlotte, you mentioned the family nurse partnership. Tell people what that is.
Yeah, so the Family Nurse Partnership is a programme which actually was developed in America by a gentleman called David Olds, and it's a high fidelity.
Actually,
high fidelity
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you because while he's given credit for it, it actually the nurse who worked on the model itself was Harriet yes. Kitzman from Rochester, New York, and she said to him, "You be the external face; I'll do the background work." And later, she yeah. came to regret that. But she doesn't get credit for really coming up with the model because she was steeped in maternal child health. So I just wanted—I have to insert that anytime we're talking about the family
right.
partnership.
And that's so true of nursing, Diana.
Yeah. Yeah.
That often we don't get the credit. However, we worked with David and his team to train our what we call health visitors in the UK. So they would look after children from 4 weeks until 4 years, essentially. And we developed this particular role health of Family Nurse Partnership. And they worked with young girls, teenage pregnancy, girls who got pregnant in teenage years, under 19, and they stayed with them on their journey from the baby was born until the baby reached the age of two. And the sorts of things that they did, I mean, many of these girls came from insecure backgrounds, single-parent families, maybe no fixed house, difficult financial circumstances, and the Family Nurse Partnership nurse worked with them for 2 years consistently, and they provided them with competence, I think, to care for, to be a mum, parenting skills, encouraged them to breastfeed, to use touch, to engage with their baby, and they over time developed confidence, and many of them went back to school. Some of them became nurses and social workers. They all said they wanted to give their child a better start in life than mm-hmm. we had. And many of their partners stayed with them, young teenage men. And they learned life skills. And it was a really, really positive development and a really, really positive step for young women to have that support and to learn how yeah. to cook nutritious food, how to bath their baby, how to engage as a parent, how to enjoy their baby's time, and to grow in confidence as a young woman. And we showed some fantastic outcomes from that work.
Yeah. And we have nurse family partnership programs here in the United States still. And the outcome, the depth of the research on this that shows both the mother and the infant have better outcomes, and not just on health,
yep.
but on things like repeat pregnancies, on things like returning to work or returning to education, or the child's yep. likelihood of entering incarceration as they got older. There's some real good long-term data on this. So kudos to you all for taking that model and for really building on it in Northern Ireland and the UK.
Yeah.
So So then we have what's called marmot places or marmot cities and towns. Tell us about this work.
So marmot places is literally a place. It can be a town or a city or a region. But what's important about it is that city or town or region formally commits to reducing health inequalities by using Sir Michael's, what are now his 8 principles, because he's added to the 6 I already mm-hmm. mentioned, he's now added tackling racism and discrimination and improving environmental sustainability, so dealing with essentially climate change. And I suppose in a nutshell, that's really about building a fairer society. So in these environments that are called marmot places, the local government, essentially, community, commits to reducing health inequalities by applying those 8 principles. So they work then with University College London, where Michael's based, and they start to embed long-term whole system approaches to improving health equity.
What does that mean?
I think what that means is that it's working much broader than health. So mm-hmm. it's recognising that the whole system, so housing, education, income, mm-hmm. employment, environment, community involvement, community conditions, safe and secure environments, all of those things together collectively has a much bigger impact on healthcare mm-hmm. and health than the provision of healthcare.
Yeah.
So the statistics tell us that healthcare only contributes to about 20% of a person's health, because the rest is shaped by those wider whole system approaches yeah. and the principles that we discussed. So it's I suppose another way of putting it is all partners working together for the benefit of health and healthier communities. And we talk about sometimes health in all policies. So, you know, health being involved in the education department, the housing department, mm-hmm. the employment department, all for the greater good, and as a joined up system helping to support people live healthier lives. So it's really about tackling, I think, the root cause of ill health mm-hmm. and social inequality. And we know that there are currently over 50 marmot places, mm. Some cities, some towns and some local regions in the UK. And we know that Wales, which is one of the 4 countries of the United Kingdom, has just become the first marmot nation. So as a nation, they have signed up to those 8 principles.
Wow, that's fascinating. And it'll be interesting to watch. And so let's say this station is based, located in Roxbury, New York. And let's say Roxbury, New York decided it wanted to be a marmot place. It makes this commitment. But then how is there guidance that it gets? Can they take as long as they want to make the changes? What's the structure behind it? Do you know?
So it's working with Michael's team in London, and they monitor progress. So they'll start to look at statistics, and they look at inequalities, they will look at mortality, they will look at the number of children in poverty. There's a range of indicators that they use, and they measure that over time, and they will work with that community to understand what the biggest priorities are mm. and where they want to I use the word invest lightly. It's not always financial, although obviously money does help, but it's about the focus and really doing everything that they can to address those mm-hmm. issues, whatever mm-hmm. they might be, for that community. So, for example, in Coventry, which is the longest marmot city, it was established in 2013. Mm. It has shown between the years of 2015 and 2019 an improvement of 22 places on what's called the Index of Multiple Deprivation Ranking. So that ranking, I mean, it's essentially the difference between the most and least deprived areas in Coventry, and that has moved to a positive 22 places.
Wow.
So meaning that those who are most deprived are now 22 places closer to those who are least deprived. And we know that in other places like Grimsby, only last year in 2025, Grimsby is a town in England, it reported that living in one part of the town as opposed to the other could mean a difference of 18 years in your life expectancy, and that the average healthy life expectancy in that town as of 2025 was 55 years, which is quite remarkable, given that for the rest of the UK, it's probably for men 79 and for women about 83. So they work with those indicators, they implement plans, and then they remeasure over the course of 3 to 5 years, I understand it to be.
Great. Well, it's fascinating work, and, you know, maybe there's some listeners who would join with me in seeing if we can convince Sir Michael and his team to take on a U.S., some small towns in the U.S., and see if we could make some progress.
I think he would be delighted to do that. He's always, always very willing to come to talk to people who are genuinely interested in trying to make a difference.
So what do you see as the implications of this work for places like the Catskills of New York? What do you think people should be thinking about with this?
So I think the first thing is this approach kind of it reframes the health debate. In the you know, when we think about the context of healthcare and the burden of disease and who can and who can't afford healthcare, to think about this in a different way and to create situations where people can be more effectively become healthy people. And I think that's about aligning our health to our social environment, our political environment, and the economical environment that we live in. And those issues are difficult at the moment for most countries and most populations. But health equity is also stalling, not just in England, but also in the US.
Yes.
So I think it's about paying attention to our health, but mostly about community health and working as a community, because it impacts on us all in society. And some examples of that are, I looked specifically at upstate New York, for Black and Hispanic children are twice as likely to live in poverty as their white counterparts. Racial and ethnic health inequalities: Black women are much more likely to have a low birth weight baby or even stillbirth. And obviously a low birth weight baby means your child's not getting the best start in life. You've put so much more effort into that. And we know, for example, that loneliness in older people is much more damaging to their health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So I think even on those three things, we could think about what we could do differently. So exercise is a key component of this. It's a major contribution to ill health, to obesity, to cancer, heart disease, stroke. Maybe things like place-based, community-based, cross-section partnerships between community leaders around things like healthy food shops, choices, teaching people how to cook again, because we've all got very familiar with processed and takeaway food, creating maybe coffee mornings where older people can come together, who are simple things within the community that can really make a difference to people's life expectancy. And I think starting to monitor or becoming familiar with the evidence base. So, you know, what is the life expectancy in your area? What are the indicators, and how can we help to change some of those are important conversations. And then I think also we could be thinking about advocating to local politicians for change and standing up for the rights of communities.
Yes,
it's just a few ideas that I had.
They're very good ideas. And up in our region, actually, poverty is a major cause of health disparities. We're not so ethnically and racially diverse. We have a little bit of diversity, but the poverty rate is much too high. And it probably is the strongest factor determining that gets in the way of health equity. All very important points. So those are really good examples, and it seems to me you'd have to have some community conversations to get this kind of thing going, but that you would get support from Sir Michael and his team. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. And I think also, I think, you know, climate is really having an impact on yes. this, and we can't have healthy populations unless we have a healthy planet. So yes. part of this is also about taking care of our planet.
Yes.
And there's a little story about a girl called Ella Addo Kissy Deborah, who's from London, but she was 9 years old, and she's the first person in the world to have air pollution recorded on her death certificate. Oh. She died in 2013, and her mum has been on a mission, her mum Rosamond, who I've met, for clean air. So I think there are other things that we can do that are much broader even than when we think about health, about how we look after our planet, how we recycle, reuse,
yes.
how we think about fossil fuels, how we heat our homes. Lots of conversations that we will be having anyway all contribute to some of this morbid work.
Yeah. So are you still working, doing work that's aligned with Sir Michael Marmot's work?
Yeah, so... Well, I've been engaged as a nurse at the United Nations for 3 years, lobbying for better health, climate action, in particular climate action as one of the Sustainable Development Goals, and for investment in nursing as the healthcare profession that, you know, they live and work in the same communities, they understand their community issues, and they're, as the most trusted profession, I think best placed to help and support community development in this area of wider determinants of health. So I've been doing that. I've also just been released today. I've written a chapter in a climate action book,
huh.
and another one to come later in the year. And I continue as a global nurse leader to raise awareness where possible on the principles of health equity and how nurses can advocate for change as part of their communities. And now I'm hoping to be engaged in the Healthy Cities conversation in the UK and now in Ireland as it develops with Sir Michael.
Right.
So I think making connections for him and with him is a key part of my role.
Great. Well, I do want to point out, I try to be transparent about my associations when I'm on the air, and Charlotte McArdle is a former Global Nursing Leadership Institute scholar. The Global Nursing Leadership Institute is a policy institute that is the signature program of the International Council of Nurses. I am program director of that right now. The other is I was very touched to be honored at the Royal College of Surgeons of Ireland with an honorary fellowship in February. It was quite an amazing experience, Charlotte. It was great to see you there. So for transparency purposes, I know Charlotte, and I'm grateful to her for all of her work. If people would like to learn more about your work or that of Sir Michael Marmot, how would they do that?
So I think the easiest way is obviously on the website. And the two that I would point to are Coventry City Council website and University College London, the Institute of Health Equity. I think if they're easily accessible, the information's readily available, and it would whet your appetite to find out a little bit more if you're interested.
Great. I've been talking with Charlotte McArdle, a global nurse consultant, visiting professor at Ulster University Belfast, vice dean of the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, and a former government chief nurse officer, as you heard, of Northern Ireland. You've been a little bit busy, Charlotte. And I'm grateful very much for coming on to Health Center, but also for your leadership in this space. I feel passionately about these issues. Health Center in the Catskills is actually it's a health program, but I make it clear that I can relate anything to health. And you've made the case here for the health of a business, of the business sector of a community being really key yeah. to the health of that community. So, yeah, we can connect it all to health as nurses, I think. But thank you so much for coming on to Health Center in the Catskills today and for the work you're doing.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to be here.